You can help new Christians or those curious about the true Easter miracle with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, A Simple Explanation of Easter. These booklets are sold in packets of 20, making them perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in church pews. Find out more about A Simple Explanation of Easter at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, A Simple Explanation of Easter.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
Well, it's become the thing of legend or myth, the wisdom of Solomon. And when most Christians hear about that, they have a vague idea that there was some guy named Solomon who was exceedingly wise. What's the real story about Solomon's wisdom, how he got it, why he asked for it? We're going to be answering some of those questions as we teach a Sunday school lesson today. Solomon praying for wisdom in 1 Kings chapter 3. We'll make a connection to Proverbs chapter 3. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
So when Solomon asks for wisdom or an understanding mind, what is he asking for?
From the question itself, that would lead to the assumption that there's something that Solomon believes he needs understanding in. A lot of people today don't really look for understanding from the Lord because they think they understand everything that they need to know. So what we have to be looking for is something in the Sunday school lesson that shows that Solomon himself knew that he needed understanding. And in this particular chapter, chapter 3, Solomon says to the Lord, "Boy, you have given myself, the son of David, to sit on the throne, but you have made your servant king in place of David. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go in or to come out." Well, what he's talking about there, he really doesn't know the kinds of things that politically he'll have to do and spiritually he has to do. In other words, he also says to God, "Your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen." And then he describes Israel. "A great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude." And then he gives the exact reason in verse 9. "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people?" So the answer to your question is Solomon recognized his inability and his youth to be able to govern such a people, and so he needed wisdom. I kind of felt that way when I became a pastor years and years ago. I was confronted with a congregation, and there were a number of questions I really wasn't sure how to answer. And so I kind of had an individual, a former field worker pastor of mine, Walter Hoffman, that I would phone at least once a week asking him, "Well, here's the situation, what's your advice?" And then he would be able to give me advice. And the only reason I was phoning him is because I was unsure as to the answer I should follow. Well, this was Solomon's situation, and he was therefore, in a sense, communicating with God himself. And by the way, this all was occurring during a dream when the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, "Ask what I shall give you." And the answer was, "Well, I need your wisdom to govern your people."
So why does this request please God?
Well, if you go around the Sunday school kids and say, "Okay, if you were going to ask God for one thing and he would give it to you in the next few days," I'll guarantee the Sunday school teachers are going to hear something along the lines that, "Well, I would like a new bike, or I would like to have a bigger TV, or I would and it would be something that they would be able to possess. How many children would say, well, I would hope that I would have greater faith to be able to discern what is good and evil, particularly when I'm around other school kids, etc. The fact of the matter is that by nature, if you were told by God, he'll give you anything you want, wow, who would ever ask for wisdom rather than for some possession? And that's what pleased the Lord. In fact, he even says, because Solomon, you have asked this wisdom, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. Behold, I now do according to your word. I'm going to give you a wise and discerning mind, so that there will be none like you before you, and none shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And so the Lord is very pleased, because we've often said on Law and Gospel, there's two motivations for all of your actions. The one is self-interest, and the other is interest in Jesus. So a lot of times we may end up doing a good work for someone, but that's in order to make us look good in the eyes of others, in contrast to doing something for someone who is in need because of our love for Jesus Christ. So proper wisdom comes from God and is definitely what we're talking about in regard to the Word of God.
So how does God answer Solomon's prayer?
He answers his prayer by giving him wisdom in order to guide his people. And it's not long before Solomon is recognized as someone who really understands how to deal with situations. In fact, it's not part of our Sunday school lesson, but it is well known by many people when they talk about Solomon. There were two women, and they each gave birth. Unfortunately, one of the women lay on her child during sleep and killed it, and she switched the dead child with the living child from the other woman. Now, when the other woman awoke and saw that the child she had now in her bed was dead, she recognized, this is not my child. And so they went to Solomon and asked him to please take care of the situation. And Solomon recognized, the one says, it's my child. The other says, no, that child is not your child. So what did Solomon do? He asked that he be brought a sword. And what does Solomon say? He said to his soldiers, divide the living child in two, give half to the one mother and half to the other. Well, as soon as he said that, the woman who really had the live son said to Solomon, oh, my Lord, by no means put him to death. And the other mother said, he shall be neither mine nor yours, divide him. And then Solomon said, give the living child to the first woman, and by no means put him to death, she is his mother. See, the second mother was, so prideful that she was willing to have even half of a dead child, rather than let the real mother have her only child. And this showed great wisdom. So wisdom isn't always knowing the right answer, but the right way to bring a proper answer into a situation. And that's why your best lawyers often become judges, because that's the task of a judge, to help bring proper justice into a situation. And this is the wisdom that Solomon asked for, and it's obviously the wisdom that Jesus also had received. Time and time again, questions are asked Jesus, trying to trick him, but instead he uses his wisdom and indicates, for example, when they said, do we pay taxes to Caesar or not? Well, if he said, yes, pay taxes, then the people would be mad at him because they didn't like Caesar. And if he said, no, don't pay taxes, then Caesar and his soldiers would be mad at him. So what did he do? He took a coin, had the people look at it. It had the image of Caesar on it. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And finally, the unbelieving Pharisees and others quit asking Jesus questions because they always ended up looking like fools. And that wisdom came from God himself.
There's also an account in 1 Kings 10 of Solomon's wisdom. It even attracts the Queen of Sheba to come and visit him and test him with hard questions. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. The Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon. That's in verse 1 of chapter 10. And so she came to him to ask him hard questions and brought a lot of people with her, including camels bearing spices, very much gold, precious stones. She told him all that was on her mind. Guess what? Verse 3, Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And soon the Queen of Sheba recognized the wisdom of Solomon, saw the wonderful house that he had built, the food of his table, his officials, his attendants, their clothing, his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord. And it says there was no more breath in her. And so she said, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. But I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpass the report that I heard. And she ended up giving Solomon a quantity of spices, 120 talents of gold, and precious stones. And therefore, again, the wisdom of Solomon came through, not only able to answer her questions, but satisfying her mind that he really had been given a gift from God himself in order to be wise. And that's the same thing that happened with Jesus. Many people came to Jesus because of the wisdom that he had.
She even accredits God with giving him this wisdom, as you said. She recognizes, pagan though she is, that this is divine wisdom that Solomon possessed.
Exactly. In other words, remember where to be witnesses to individuals, and that often can come about when we give wisdom. I've had that experience occur a few times when I drive for Uber, and I'll get into a conversation with someone in the back seat about whether or not they're going to heaven because they find out I'm a pastor. And I've been able to ask them questions to show that they really, though they believe their only way to get to heaven is by their works, they really know that they'll never do enough works to get to heaven. And so then we turn to the word of the Bible and the gifts of Jesus Christ at his cross and resurrection, and at least give them an understanding of how heaven can be their home free of charge, without any good works at all. And so there is an example where pastors are trained to use the wisdom of the Bible in order to share the wonderful message of Christianity.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom We'll turn to Proverbs chapter 3 on the other side of the break. We'll explore what it has to say there about the connection between God's commands and wisdom and faith. If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
Superstition is the belief that one event caused an unrelated event. It's often tied up with false beliefs about God and how He works in the world. Is there really such a problem with superstitions? Is there really such a problem with saying, knock on wood or good luck? Explore this and more in the March issue of The Lutheran Witness. We will talk about scientism, superstition, New Age, and so much more. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
At Concordia Evangelical Lutheran Church of Wilmington, Delaware, our mission is to serve our community by sharing Christian hope. We've been doing this since 1938 and joyfully continue to do so in the 21st century. If you're ever in the city that DuPont Chemical Corporation calls home, or is known by some as the credit card capital of the world, we hope you visit to receive Jesus through His Word and Sacrament. Otherwise, check us out on the web at ConcordiaWilmington.com.
Hi, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Are you an investor looking to support the bold and loving work of LCMS churches? Is your church or organization ready to do bold and loving work? This year, we have a ripe opportunity to bring Christ to a hurting world. Discover the role you can play in this great work. Call 800-843-5233 or visit lcef.org. That's 800-843-5233, lcef.org.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. St. John Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin, Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas, St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel on Solomon praying for wisdom in 1 Kings 3 and returning to Proverbs 3. So, Tom, there in Proverbs 3, how do we see a connection between wisdom and faith?
Yes. Just before we get to Proverbs 3, the Enduring Faith Concordia Publishing House material has a number of Bible passages, and the one that might confuse people, which Proverbs 3 is going to help us explain, is Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, why would being afraid of the Lord be the beginning of knowledge and wisdom? Well, the CPH material does a good job in talking about what it means to fear God. It is to stand in awe of Him, to recognize He is the one who created us. He is our Redeemer, the one to whom we ought to put in all of our trust and our faith. And so with that background, as you take a look at Proverbs, and many of the Proverbs were written by Solomon and also Hezekiah the king, but verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." Now, this is the Lord speaking through this proverb, and he's referring to his son, which can be male or female. They are those who are children of God. "Let your heart keep my commandments." Now, it just so happens this coming Sunday, the Old Testament reading is the Ten Commandments. And the way I like explaining the Ten Commandments is that when you break the Ten Commandments, it is not just disobedience against God's will, which we call sin, but you're actually taking a gift from God and throwing it back in his face. So the first commandment gives you the gift of God himself. "I am the Lord your God." The second commandment gives you the gift of knowing his name so you can call on him. The third commandment gives you the gift of him being able to talk to you in divine worship. So you can go through every one of the commandments, see the gifts that he's given. In other words, the Ten Commandments are not the way you get to heaven. They are instead the response that you give to God because you are already on the way to heaven. "I am the Lord your God. To Israel, I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And to us Christians today, "I am the Lord your God who died on the cross for your sins." So when we look at verse 1, to have our heart keep his commandments mean that we stand in awe of God and receive the gifts he wants to give us. Remember, every time we disobey a commandment, we are not receiving the gift of God himself. We're breaking the first commandment. And so there's a very clear teaching between being in awe of God and following his commandments to receive the many gifts. And he says, "For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you." Now, we've said this a lot of times on my Law and Gospel program, is that God builds in ways in which we have bad consequences occurring to us when we break his commandments. When we don't break his commandments, then we can have a more peaceable life, one in which the police are not running after you, one in which people are not looking down on you for what you have done. And therefore, you can have a length of days and years of life. In verse 3, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them together around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart." This is wisdom, that the steadfast love that we give to others is because of the steadfast love that God has given to us and his being faithful. In that way, verse 4, "You will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." Now, this comes right out of what we were reading about Solomon's prayer, that even though he did not ask for these things, he receives these things because of his faithfulness to God. Verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Boy, that's where we are, unfortunately, in this country. Many people are leaning on their own understanding about what the Bible says in regard to various lifestyles that are immoral, etc., thinking that they're okay, and they're listening to themselves rather than to the Word of God. And therefore, they're receiving kind of the just deserts of their sin. In fact, remember, the reason we practice close communion is because a person who does not understand what is happening in the Lord's Supper and takes it will actually receive illness and sometimes even death, according to 1 Corinthians 11. That is a consequence of unbelief in regard to the Lord's Supper. And God says, when we have acknowledgement of Him, He will make straight our paths. We're not to be wise in our own eyes. We're instead, and here it comes again, verse 7, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. That word fear means be in awe of the Lord. He created you. And of course, Jesus has the title Son of Man in the New Testament. And that is specifically out of Daniel and other places that refer that he will be the judge on the last day. And so there is a fear that Jesus could send people to hell because of their sin, but he's also known as the Savior who died for that sin. And so there is no fear on the part of a Christian who therefore is wise in listening to the Word of God, which is really important. So there's a real close connection between wisdom and God's commands. Going to be wise means to follow the commands of God, because that's where the gifts of God come to us. The life of justification is when we are saved initially. The life of sanctification is when we respond to that salvation and we do good works, not in order to be saved, but because we are already totally saved. So it ends with saying, verse 12, the Lord reproves him whom he loves. Now you say to yourself, wait a minute, why is God reproving me if he loves me? Well, the next line, as a father reproves the son in whom he delights. You see, if you really delight in your children, you want them to be protected from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And therefore, you will reprove them, not in trying to get even with them, but as a way of showing love to them and helping them to be more wise by listening to the Word of God. And that's what the Sunday school lesson is really all about.
Finally, then, with about a minute here, what is the law and gospel of this Sunday school lesson on the wisdom of Solomon?
The law is, it accuses us of not fearing God, of thinking that we're smarter than God. Every time we sin, we don't have any awe of God. We're having awe of ourselves. And therefore, that is really what sets the Christian apart from the unbeliever. So the law accuses us of not having awe, not fearing the Lord. The gospel is found in Jesus Christ, who not only created us, according to Genesis 1, but who gives to us everything, including all the gifts of the Ten Commandments, as we believe his promises of the forgiveness of sins and the robe of righteousness.
Our weekly Sunday school lessons with Pastor Tom Baker are based on a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum called Enduring Faith. Find out more on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
And thank you.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the new Anti-American Civics Project for public schools with Joy Pullman of The Federalist. We'll talk with Dr. John Bombaro about how God's Word seats us in truth and its media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.